Well, I want to go ahead and invite Dr. James Anderson to come forward. And I'm enthusiastic. It's fun when the preacher gets to listen to the sermon. but I'm really excited to listen to this guy. I'll listen to anything this guy's got to say.
Thank you.
Can I pray for you before you begin?
Oh, please.
Well, Heavenly Father, as James begins to share with us, Lord, open up our hearts, open up our minds to hear what you have for us, to hear what you have for us. And once again, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would cover him from head to toe. Lord, that he would find himself just speaking the words that are on your heart. And so, Lord, give us your heart through him. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll start up here, but I'll probably wander. This should be easy because all we're doing is talking about Jesus, the King of Kings, and his story. Josh asked me to just share about what's going on in a slum outside of Kampala in Uganda. And it's really a story about the Christian community in Uganda, God's work there. And then he asked me to describe some of the relationship realm that, or the relationship development that led to this. In actuality, you know, the world says if you want to understand something, you follow the money. But in the kingdom, if you want to understand something, you follow the relationship. God is a source of life, and he's made life about relationship. Now, one reason why we always pick something different than relationship, like wealth or fame or titles, relationships is the hardest thing in the world. They will require you to dig deeper than you and I ever want to dig. But God has made life about relationship. Now, when Moses, a couple thousand years ago, said, "For the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength," that does not look like behavior to me. It's a relationship, a love affair. And then when Jesus took on human form to rescue you and me, and gave up infinity and became finite, he said, "All the law is fulfilled in these two commandments." And he quoted Moses that, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength." And then he said, "And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Oh my. Again, it's only relationship. If we love people, our behavior turns fine. But if we make life about behavior and performance, we get bored and we kill it. But if our life is to be an ever-enlarging, ever-increasing relationship realm of greater and greater and greater capacity to love people. Now, that being said, let me tell you a story about a neighbor. I would run in the mornings, and I'd cross this neighbor, and I'd say, "Good morning." He wouldn't respond. And I did that for about 6 months. I'd see him once or twice a month. He didn't respond, so I went into the kitchen one day after running. I said to my wife, "Do you know that guy's name?" And she said, "No." And then I said, "He's a real jerk." And before the words got out of my mouth, the Holy Spirit convicted me. He's made in God's image. He's of invaluable worth. No, he's broken. He's hurting. He's deep around underneath this concrete wall. So I repented, got the forgiveness of God. And then I went to a neighbor and I said, "Do you know the name of that fellow that walks?" And he says, "Yeah, his name's Adam." And so next time I saw him, I said, "Good morning, Adam." I ratcheted it up. 6 months later, I saw a crack in the door. Wow. It took 6 months. to break through the concrete and pain in his life. But the truth was always there. He's made in God's image. Invaluable word. And about 2 or 3 months later, we were holding hands in the middle of the road praying, and he was crying. That's yours, my life today. Our whole world builds concrete around his heart. Now, let us pray, and then we'll go to the two scriptures that frame the story. Jesus, we thank you for Walter and his grandson in Kazakhstan. We thank you that we want to be like what David says, my cup runneth over. The love affair with you overflows from our life to all across this world, our homes, our neighborhoods, our Christian community, this city, and all across this world, my cup runneth over, and you're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. When you said it is finished, we receive that grace to come before your throne and ask you for the grace to make us who you've created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the two scriptures, John 14:30-31, he says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Arise, let us go forth. And the next scripture is from Malachi 4:6, and he says, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth or the land with a decree of utter destruction. One way to paraphrase that, if we lose a relationship orientation to life, it's utter destruction. Life is not about power. It's not about wealth. It's not about fame, like America says. It's not about position or titles. It's about relationship. And if it becomes anything other than that, downstream of that is utter destruction. But the wonderful thing is, you and I can build relationship right where we are. We have this tremendous potential before us. Now, I've had the privilege over these 25 years or 30 years to train young healthcare professionals in medicine. And I'll step down here. And it was real fun because they come in for a couple years and I could say to them, what do you want your life to look like when you're 80? And they look at me kind of funny because they didn't know where I was coming from. And I'd be serious. I said, what do you want your life to look like when you're 80? And then whether they were Hindu or Buddhist or atheist or Muslim, Christian, 20 seconds later, I did this hundreds of times because it always worked. They would say family and friends. Yeah. They would use different words, but it was always family and friends. See, this is hardwiring, made in God's image. You and I were designed for a relationship. We weren't designed for the other stuff that America says we are, or the media says we are. And then I say, okay, how do you navigate the ship from where you are right now to where you want to be when you're 80? And then they look at me again, kind of funny and perplexed. That was a hard question. I said, didn't they ask you this in college? No, sir. Didn't they ask you this in medical school? No, sir. I did this with a young lady who graduated from Harvard on our Egypt trip a year ago. I said, didn't they ask you this, Kaylee? She said, no, sir. Life's about relationship. Yours and my world is all relational. So I say, okay, what are the two most important relationship dynamics between any two people? Mother and father, husband and wife, friendship, sister, brother. What are the two relationship dynamics between any two people that are the most wonderful, valuable relationship dynamics? And they would struggle because all I'm doing is taking something that's very simple and bringing it out of subterranean and bringing it into intentional. Now, after a few minutes we're talking, I say, okay, love and trust, never an argument. Everybody's wired, they want those two dynamics, love and trust. Okay, define them. That's another struggle. Because see, in America, we're really sloppy about love. Love that car, love that house. That's very sloppy. That's about me. And very stingy about trust. Don't trust anybody. So let's define them. What is love? And after a few minutes, we've figured it out. Sacrificial giving, dedicated commitment, unconditional acceptance. See, this is you and me bringing it out of the subterranean and becoming intentional. Sacrificial giving, dedicated commitment, unconditional acceptance. Then I have fun. I say, okay, is love and trust the same? And some would say, I think so. But then I say, okay, my friend is a heroin addict. Do I stop loving him? No, sir. Not at all. Do I trust him with my 2-year-old granddaughter? You know how long it takes him to answer that? 1 second. We're hardwired. We love these relationship dynamics. So I would start talking to him and say, I want you to learn how to bring love and trust out of the subterranean into the intentional. And then you want to learn how to initiate and respond to both. How do I initiate love? How do I respond to love? How do I initiate trust? How do I respond to trust? And that's what's going to guide that ship from here where you are now to where you want it to be when you're 80. And the fruit of a relationship realm of love that's initiatory and responsive is value and dignity and honor and thanksgiving. We love that. That's the taste of heaven. The fruit of a relationship realm that involves trust is vulnerability, connectedness, belonging, devotion, intimacy. The number one desire right there is to belong. To belong. And yet, America's so stingy with trust, they don't know how to belong. They don't know how to create that. So that's a tremendous opportunity you and I have. We could change Richmond. If we get in people's world, learn to listen, create trust, and let them come out. And it's worked so many times over the last 35 years with these young folk I'll be around. Now going to that scripture, John 14. Let's break that down before we get to the story in Kampala. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Jesus is saying three things. He coexists on this earth with evil, the evil one. The prince of this world cometh. And the prince of this world has an impact on him. He says, hereafter I will not talk much with you. But then he says, and he had nothing in me. Evil is cruel. God does not compromise with the cruelty of evil. It destroys people and it destroys relationship. He says he came to destroy the works of the devil. The more you and I love people, the more we're going to hate the cruelty of evil. And it's not going to allow us to be passive. It's going to make us involved in people's lives. And then the next scripture, if we put it in context of what Jesus is doing, he's preparing the disciples for his departure. They're scared. They're living in this culture, and they've seen love. They've seen miracles. And now they don't want him to leave. He has to tell them 6 or 7 times, I'm leaving. And what is he doing? He doesn't tell them just to buck up and toughen up, but he puts his relationship realm on display as the answer on how to live in this broken world. The Jews hated the Romans. The Romans hated the Jews. They thought hate and power would fix hate and power. Does that sound familiar? A polarized hatred. But he didn't say pick a side. He said you build the kingdom right in the middle. You love them both. But that the world may know that I love the Father. Sacrificial love, dedicated commitment, unconditional acceptance. But that the world may know, he's put his relationship on display on how for you and me to live. And it is, as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. He obeyed the Father, not because he was afraid of the Father, not because he wanted the Father's acceptance. He trusted the Father. Love and trust, the two greatest relationship dynamics of all life. He trusted the Father infinitely, so he surrendered infinitely. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. And he says, arise, come out of the world system, let us go forth. He's going to walk with you and me. So when we walk into this broken world, he's walking with us. And he says, he's going to tell us, love, not the sloppy love America talks about, sacrificial giving, dedicated commitment, unconditional acceptance. And the trust, I mean, you work with trust, but it's a confidence in someone's character. And we go that way and we take risk. It makes us vulnerable, but it also connects us. So we bring those out of the intentionality. In the process, the neat thing is he makes you like himself. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into his image. Only Jesus is going to make you kind and at the same time make you strong. Only Jesus is going to make you courageous and make you gentle. Only Jesus is going to make you passionate and yet patient, because he's going to make you like himself. So that's what he's called us to. Now, the slide shows that I'll start to show. It started off in 2002. We had gone, you know, 9/11 happened, and my wife and I, we were here in the fertile soil of Christian community here at St. Giles. And we just realized that health care was a vehicle to take the gospel where there would be a war zone. And all these soldiers are people's sons and daughters. They're just like my sons and daughters. So it just made sense. And my wife and I went down to the recruiter. We were 50, and they accepted me into the Army. So this is where I went in 2007, 100 miles west of Baghdad. This is the same picture, another picture of the same place. I went back in 2009. Next picture. We opened that hospital. There are six generals there. Next picture. It was a beautiful facility, but the first day we opened it was full of injured. So I do not want to make this sound. It was, the injuries are horrible. Next picture. Helicopters brought in the soldiers. Next picture. And we just had a great team there. Next picture. I was in a tree. That's just a triage tent for mass casualties. Next picture. All right, now we'll stop here for a second. These four Marines went out on Humvees every day. They needed each other. So what do they do when you need each other? You trust each other. All of a sudden you belong. You're connected. Now the Humvee's blown in half. They come to the emergency room in two separate helicopters. They're worried their best friend has been killed. Now they get there in the emergency room, they find out their best friend's alive. You know what I get to experience? An explosion of joy. It's marvelous. Over and over and over again, I saw that. I saw the other side too. But trust. The relationship realm overseas was tremendous because you were forced to trust one another. Next slide. Now, the Iraqis, the terrorists would bomb the playgrounds and thinking they could force the people into submission, but we won the war. The second time I went in 09, our hospital was empty. This is 07 because they found out they could trust our soldiers. So we took care of the Iraqis, and that's one why our hospital was empty the second time I went. Next slide. Now, this is the beginning of the story. Our guards on the base were Ugandan guards. They were hired by the military to check us as we went into buildings to make sure our guns were unloaded. So you get to talk to them. They're valuable. They're made in God's image. You treat them with value, and all of a sudden you get friendship. Next slide. So these three men, and there's a fourth one, we met four nights a week and studied the scriptures in the chapel. And they were hungry, and they were the age of my kids, so it was easy to relate to them. And we would sing, and we would study the scriptures, but all of a sudden, relationship came about. And so this was 2007, 2009. They were still there. The Army sent me back to the same place. We did it again. But then when I returned in 2009, I knew something was up, because I said, this ain't about friendship. I don't know where we're headed, but something bigger is going on. Because for the Army to send me to the same place was impossible. So that was in 2009, 7 and 9. And then in 2014, the Lord just wouldn't let me sleep anymore. I knew these were still separate. They didn't have jobs at home, and they were separated from their families. And so I went to my wife and kids, and I said, if we pay their salaries, we can send them home. If we pay their salaries, they can reunite with their families. And it's all relational. I mean, that's all it is. You just kind of got to do what you got to do. And my wife and kids said, yes, we'll do it. So now, next slide. So this is 7 years later. We sent them home in 2014. This is 2015. And all four of those men were on Lake Victoria. My older brother in that picture said, James, we must visit them. I don't know what we could do, but we must visit them. So we knew we were going to use them for employment somewhere. I was trying to talk to orphanages and couldn't get a job for them set up. So next slide. This is we set up in the last 2 years. Church and Joffrey hit up an NGO in Uganda called Peter's Heart. And it's a 501c3 here. So it's an organization, but it's built on relationship. And when we sent them home, they started to look for how to use their time. And they landed in the slum of Kampala. Because Idi Amin had done a horrible job of destroying people. And then HIV created 2 million orphans in the early 2000s. So next picture. So they started going to the slums, and that's where I was last week, Sunday morning, since then. So it started in 2015. Next slide. Just gives you a picture of what the slums look like. Next slide. During monsoon season, it floods. It's just dirt poor and survival. Next slide. The kids just kind of wander around aimlessly. Now, Peter's Heart, this organization, has 61 kids from the slums, just like this one. None of them have a father. They're all dirt poor, don't have food each day. And most of the mothers survive by selling their bodies for food. So relationship brings us into this arena. So next slide. That's his bed, and it's a little bit off the ground, so when it floods, he doesn't get wet. Next slide. And this was this was last week, this cute little boy or girl. Next slide. And so you just get a picture of how hard life would be. Next slide. And this is women that sell their bodies. There's a sense of hopelessness, despair, but they're still in survival mode. Next slide. And we've worked with a lot of those women now for 8 years. This is the home for five, the single room. Next slide. And this is when Keith and I were there 6 months ago. We visited some of the mothers in the program, and this is two of the mothers. Next slide. This is last week, a picture of three kids just in the middle of the day. Next slide. Okay, this was 3 years after our first visit. And all those kids that are from Uganda, you see smiles on their faces. So we had had them in schools for 3 years where they get food, they get health, they get education, and then they get the gospel. And you can see the change. And so we were hooked. It's just a done deal. And so we went and visited them. We've been there every year since, but this was 3 years after, and the change is just remarkable what love does. So that's why we were there. Next slide. This is the team when Keith and I were there 6 months ago, and this is the story. Church and Joffrey and Joyce and young Joffrey and Bernard and Tom Massa. I mean, just wonderful people. Michael and Irene and Ida, James. I mean, relationship. Sacrificial love, vulnerable trust, dedicated commitment. Learning how to trust someone's character. So this is yours and my world. This is the only way to change America, is to build relationships. You and I must be involved with people. We can't be distant. We can't be on the sidelines. We must risk failure. I mean, many times you just show up. You don't have the answers, but you just say, God, you're there, so we'll show up. Next slide. This is Ibrahim. Story about Ibrahim. He came in the program 6 months ago. His mother died a week before Keith and I were there last March. And she died of HIV. His father is a severe alcoholic, 4 brothers from 4 different fathers. A tough situation. So we put him in school. He's Muslim. Next slide. This is a letter he wrote us thanking us for caring for his mother. The night before she died, one of our mentors was in the hospital room with her and led her to Christ. Prayed with her. So you and I care about eternity. We care about the fatherless, but we care about eternity. We want to take as many people with us to heaven as possible. We want to, you know, we want to be in all these arenas because eternity is real. Next slide. This is last Sunday morning. I got a couple grandkids there, my son and his wife, and then the team, and there's some graduates. You see some caps there. 3, Rashida and Juliana and Shakul. And they just finished, the three of them just finished technical school. And Shakul is in construction, Rashida's sewing, and Juliana's hairdressing, and their mothers are there. And so we just had a moment of rejoicing. Next slide. This is Dalton. He started school about a year ago, and he didn't know father, no mother, and just taken care of by an aunt. But so we keep them. We're not foster care. We keep them with their families, but we just work with the Christian schools and work with education, food, health, and the gospel. Next slide. This is my granddaughter last week with 4, and that's her 3rd trip. Why does she go back 3 times? Because you and I are about relationships. When people experience relationship, that's what we're wired for. I mean, there's no substitute for relationship in life. And America brings in the media and the screens. And it's been a sad thing. Next thing. All right, the little fellow in the red shirt was our first young child in the program. Andrew. His aunt there in the red dress sells her body for food. She asked us to educate him in 2015. My older brother said yes. Next slide. There's Andrew 2.5 years ago. Bright young man, first in his class. Leading worship when we had a worship service. Just a delightful young man. Next slide. There's Andrew 6 months ago with his aunt in the slum. But you can see how he's in a really very good secondary school now, just growing. And we work with his aunt. She's still selling her body, but the story ain't over yet for her to meet Jesus Christ. Next slide. And there's Andrew 2 months ago with severe TB. They thought he was going to die. So they own your heart. You fall in love with these kids. And God just did a marvelous work. I met with a doctor that took care of him. He said it was a miracle that he survived. Next slide. There's Andrew about a month ago. Next slide. This is a bunch of kids that when Keith and I were there, they came into the program. We have 61 kids, and it's just the fruit of relationship. I don't know how we got here, but it's just God doing, being what God does. And they all came from the slum, every one of them. No father, mother sell their bodies, dirt poor. But you see, they're all made in God's image of invaluable worth and potential. Next slide. All right, this is Rashida, sewing machine, graduated, already starting. She didn't have to sell her body anymore. She can start to sew, and she has already started that. Next slide. Shakul, construction. Next slide. Shakul's a Muslim until 1 month ago. We are about eternity. Relationships is a doorway. I've seen Shakul for 5 years. Okay. In technical school and struggling, and now he says his life is different. New life. And he is so bright. And so he went to a pastor and said, the Christians have been nice to me for 5 years. I want to follow Jesus. That's what he told the pastor. Well, next slide. All right, this is a disability home. 180 kids that we visit every time we go. And Keith Hill says, this is holy ground. When they sing, heaven falls down. You just tears just start to go. Next slide. That's who you and I are about. The joy in her face, no hands. The joy in her face, community. That's our future. That's where you and I want to spend our life, building community, telling people about Jesus Christ, but loving them, getting in their relationship realm. And we've seen her. This slide is a team of people from four different churches. We had Jesus Festival last month, 2 months ago. Next slide. And these kids in the community in the slum dancing and doing relay races. Next slide. And the men leading it, which is unusual. I mean, the men on our team. Next slide. Food. They fed 530 people last month. And just had a day of community. Next slide. Muslims, Christians, women coming for food. 26 people gave their life to Jesus that day. The pastor and one of our team leaders shared the gospel, and 26 became Christian. Next slide. Now, these boys, they're so. This is a school assembly. One of our team leaders goes into schools. Next slide. They're holding up this. It's the four spiritual laws written differently, but the same thing. Next slide. All right, Tom, he was with me in Iraq, and we've worked with him. He spoke to 7,000 kids. 2 weeks ago, over a week, he said 3,000 decisions for Christ. And there are Bible clubs in the schools. I mean, we didn't do this. It's just relationships. The overflow, my cup runneth over. That's all you. It's too hard to try to do something like this to validate our existence. But if we just learn how to love, we learn how to trust, we just kind of go from one relationship at a time. So we'll close there. But thank you for this fertile soil of Christian community. Thank you, Josh.